kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today to exhort you in the word, and our title we're going to discuss and talk on is holding to your confession. Holding to your confession. Now, we know that it's nothing new. We've had a lot of teaching over the years with regard to our confession, what comes out of our mouth. It's very much part of the deeper life, but it's also important because it is confessing God's word and God's promises. But our confession will not really change unless the promises of God possess us, that they become part of our confession, particularly in the trials and tribulations that we go through. And we still need to be honest and sensitive to the things that come out of our mouths, particularly when we are stressed or things don't go as we want, all those trials that we meet through the week. It tells us by our confession what our attitude and thinking is towards those trials. Let's make no bones about it. We are told in the scriptures that what comes out of the heart tells one and tells people and the world where we are in the faith. That is why we are to be lights in this world. The church, as we know, is to be a beacon. It's to be a light. And that light can only be seen and also heard. And that light is also confessing our confession of faith, our confession through the trials and tribulations, because that is what fuels the light. The light that is set on a hill, this beacon, this light is fueled by our faith, by our confession, by our endurance, by the trials and tribulations that we go through. That is what keeps this light aflame, this light that the world is to see. It's not enough just confessing it when we feel we're being blessed and everything is going our way. The test of this light that God has set in the church is through the trials and tribulations. And we know that many over the centuries who have stood firm to the faith, even those who have been martyred, are the light, are the fueling of the church and its standing. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, and that light can only be lit in his church, in assemblies, in gatherings, where they are confessing and believing and holding on to the faith through the trials and tribulations. Because that is a sign that God is with you. God is bringing the saints through every trial and tribulation. So you see, this light works on both ways. Of course, it is God's light. It has to be. But for His light to shine in the church, it can only shine when you have believers who are believing and confessing and walking in that light. And this, of course, is why the enemy tries to destroy us. He tries to get us to backtrack or to go off, all the usual things, for the very purpose to try and put out this light. But thank God, Jesus is the light of the world. And that light was made flesh, and he is the Word of God. And this is why we can pray so effectively in our prayers and intercessions, that God will light up, he will expose the powers of darkness. That is why our prayers are so effectual. But unless we believe this and we confess this, and this all becomes a part of our life, our daily life, we're not really going to know this. And so God sets these tests, and he expects us to be sensitive and humble enough to be able to discern what is going on and what is our confession. You see, it's so easy to confess when we come together to meetings like this. It's so easy to agree, and that's nothing wrong. We should exhort and encourage one another in the faith. That is what believers should do. But the test comes when we're with our families, when we're at work, or we're confronted with opposition, or whatever it would be. That is where the test of our confession lies. And this is why I'm calling it today, Holding to Your Confession. Well, let's start off with something familiar that we know in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 that tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So there's no holding on to confession, that hope within us, unless the one who has made these promises is faithful. And we will look at that in greater detail as we go on in our study with this. But let us just remind ourselves of other scriptures in the context of what we're looking at. For example, in Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19, which says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So we start to begin to understand why our confession is so important. God is not like man that he should lie. So he's clearly making a distinction here of the weakness of man, who sadly lies. He says, nor a son of man that he should repent, as he has said, and he will not do, or has he spoken, and he will not make it good. So he's not like us. He is true to his word. And therefore we can trust in his word and in his promises. What does it say in the book of, wait a minute, let's find out where we are, in Joshua. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua 23 and verse 14. Joshua 23 and verse 14. And here is where Joshua is making his farewell address. He's continued taking the children of Israel out, a new generation. He's now finishing, and hear what he says to them, that they are to continue to press on. Joshua 23 and verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you and have come to pass, for not one word of them has failed." So he reminds this new generation that what God has promised, he has confessed, he has made known. He says, not one word of them has failed. Now, why do we have things like that said here in the Word? Why is God saying things in such a manner? Because he wants us to believe that and confess it. It's not just believing it, it's also making it our confession. Particularly in the trials and tribulations that we go, with whatever's happening, God will be faithful. He will bring it to pass. That is why we have the Word of God, that we have these promises, so that it starts to affect our confession. What does it say in the book of Isaiah? You all know this scripture very well. You probably have it underlined in Isaiah 25 and verse 1. Isaiah 25 and verse 1. We're looking today at holding to our confession. And it says here, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsel of old are faithfulness and true." So there we are. The prophet is saying here, your counsels, in other words, your word, your promises, your actions of old are faithfulness and true. And that is what it means. God is also faithful, faithfulness. This is why we believe and preach about faith, simply because God is faithful. And our confession will tell us whether we believe that or not. And that's why it says, as we go back into Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it therefore tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope. So let us hold on to these promises. In other words, there is nothing worse than discouragement that will hinder our confession. And it's often in the areas of waiting. That is where so often our confession is challenged. It's in the waiting. And none of us like to wait. We are living in an age and environment where everything is at our disposal. We can just go to a computer and we can tap in information and up it comes. But you cannot approach God like that. We have to have our faith built upon these promises. And this is why we labour in the word. And this is why faith comes by hearing, hearing the word. This is where God builds us up. He doesn't build us up like the world presents, certainly today. And people are offended if they have to wait. We at times can be offended when we have to wait, particularly if we're paying for a service. And yet we take this attitude over with God. And then when it doesn't manifest at the time that we want, we then start to become discouraged. And discouragement will always attack the confession. Always in the area of waiting. Why? Because then the emotions, the senses start to dominate. They start to kick in. And particularly when you find other people are saying, well, when is God going to heal you? Or when is God going to manifest or get what it is you're confessing? And they start to mock you, and you know, they look at you and think, oh, you poor deluded thing. You know what they're thinking. And we start to become discouraged. This is what saints of old went through. They all went through this. Our Lord went through this. He suffered this as well. And so on. And no one went through it worse than Job and his comforters. They all felt sorry for him, and they feel sorry for us. But God always has a bigger plan. And there is a reason why we are waiting. There was a reason why Abraham had to wait until his old age to have a son, Isaac, when they could no longer have bear children. There was a reason for that waiting. There was a reason why Joseph was put in prison for 13 years for doing nothing. Forgotten. And yet God was with him, working. And in that 13 years, we know the story, he was presented before Pharaoh to save Israel, a remnant in the famine. Noah warned the people for 120 years the flood was coming. All of this is waiting. It's looking stupid, ridiculous. People, your family cannot understand you. And we start to listen and we become discouraged. And then the confession starts to change, to waver. And why do we make so much about confession? Because what you confess, you can eventually obtain and get. Many people confess illness on themselves. My cancer. My disease, my crippleness, or my arthritis, or whatever it is. And Christians say exactly the same. Is that what you confess? Is that what the promises of God's word, your Heavenly Father, says about you? It's because you're not influenced. The word is not doing that work that it should. And so you become discouraged. And you know what the discouragement often is? Because you're wavering. You're aware that the promises are not really in your heart as they should be. And so often a trial exposes where we are in the faith. My trial that I went through, which started back in July, And believe me, it was scary. But I knew I had to go through that way, because if there's anything still in my heart and unbelief, this is going to expose it. This is going to be my deliverance. This is where God is going to heal me first in the heart. It was no good looking to the outward circumstances. And let me tell you something. After I confessed and gave my testimony last week, the devil was on my back for 3 days after giving that, trying to put all the symptoms back. Whoa. But you know what? I knew exactly what he was doing, because I'm aware the enemy never gives up right until the very last. And he's trying to discourage, because he's trying to get at my confession. Well, praise God, I'm alive here today, now, preaching this word. Why? Because God is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. So in other words, our faith, the promises of God, are to persuade us. You remember I spoke that the other day in teaching. In other words, I am influenced. I don't have to keep looking at these promises to remind me. I know them. I'm influenced. I'm persuaded by it. It's just waiting. And Lord, I'm not very good at waiting, but I'll call upon your grace and mercy. That's what I say to the Lord when I'm getting impatient. You have to know he's promised what he has said. Why would God create and make us in his image not to fulfill his promises in us? Just think about that. Why would he create and make us in his image? Why would he give his son to redeem us and to bring us back into the household of God? Why would he not give his promises if he's not faithful? What is the point? We can at times be so stupid. No. He's made these promises. It's simply having to wait for them. You see, man breaks promises. And the irony of that is, we'll trust in man, won't we? We'll trust in the arm of the flesh. We'll run to the arm of the flesh when trials come, knowing that man breaks promises. And yet here, our Heavenly Father, he doesn't. And the problem is, we don't hold on to our confession. Well, let's look at this word again. Faithfulness. He who promised is faithful. We're talking now about the faithfulness of God. I already have read you what was said back in Numbers, and Joshua, and Isaiah. There he's clearly revealing that he's true to his word. Now remember that God's faithfulness is not ours. We are talking about God's faithfulness, and our faith to believe and salvation is all based on the faithfulness of God. Did you know that? That is why we can have such faith and confidence, because what God says, what he decrees, what he promises will come to pass. Whether you choose to believe it or not, whether your confession changes or not, God is still faithful. And he will remain faithful. He will always be faithful throughout eternity. The question is, do we depend? Do we trust in the faithfulness of God? Do I believe God is going to bring me through this trial or not? Because otherwise, what faith do we have? What confession do we have? What is the point of being a Christian? Might as well just go back into the world and enjoy it just for a season, which sadly some have done. You see, your confession in a trial tells you whether you are in faith or not, because faith and action is part of the law of sowing and reaping. So your faith, your actions are all part of the law of sowing and reaping that it tells us in Galatians. For example, let's just take this. Am I in faith over my finances? And what is my confession with regard to my finances? Because if it's not right, if you're not believing, the next thing you do, you will borrow. And what does borrowing do? It gets you in financial difficulty. And that financial difficulty is a sign of what you're sowing. It is not rocket science. When we find ourselves caught in a net, in a trap, because that is what it is. That is what the devil tries to get us. He tries to trap us so that we become dependent on the arm of the flesh. That is all clearly showing you how you are sowing. And we have to be humble enough before God. We have to repent. We have to call upon the mercy of God that I have not been as diligent as I should be. And that is why I am like I am. You see, that I'm bringing that area up because that's going to be a huge, huge problem with what's going on now globally, with all that's taken place and this country alone that spent nearly $3 trillion out over this COVID thing, and all that's happened in that is fear and confusion that has caused all that problem. And sadly, it can go on in the house of God as well. Instead of standing upon the promises of God's word, letting fear dictate and dominate instead. And the reason I say this is because we need to be in faith for our finances. We need to believe that God will provide our every need as we seek and put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He has promised. Because it's not going to get any easier. It's going to get harder. As we're coming out of all this mess, and praise God, the Lord is answering our prayers, exposing all of this and bringing this out into the light. They're realizing now that these vaccines not only are dangerous, but they're not working. These boosters, they're not working. They're realizing that what they thought was conspiracy, there's truth behind it. We were bringing this out 2 years ago. I've mentioned this to people. And they put you down. You're liars. You're believing in these conspiracy theories. We'll give it time. Conspiracy turns to truth. Why? Because God was speaking. God's word was speaking in all of this. The promises of our Heavenly Father were speaking out, telling us what was going on. That this was all planned to bring in the new reset, the new world order, to bring in, to usher in the Antichrist. And how many Christians listen to this? Just a handful. God doesn't get it wrong. The house of God is prophetic. The house of God is to be a watchman. The house of God is to be a beacon, a light to warn. And we know, sadly, most don't listen. And now governments are beginning to panic and running around like headless chicken. Your journalists, they should have seen all of this. They should have given the truth as it is, instead of being hoodwinked, because everything now is globally owned and controlled. And so you've got to do what the powers of be tell you to do. That's how the Antichrist is going to control the world. That is not democracies. And that's why we pray for our governments. We pray for our leaders for these very things. Did we not learn anything in history through World War II, through Nazism, fascism? The very same spirits and demons working there are trying to work today, now, controlling the people with fear, confusion. And what is happening? It's exposing. And what are the people beginning to say? This has cost us trillions that could be spent helping the poor, the homeless, building communities. But there we are. They are the signs and the times that we live in. These are the signs that the nations are godless. They're pagan. They look to these false leaders. This is why God is doing such a deliverance with us. This is why we have been warned all these years to trust in the Lord, to not trust in the arm of the flesh. We have had it for years. The message doesn't change. And now we're beginning to see it. And it tests us. And we're finding out where our confession, our faith lies. Oh, this is the mercy and grace of God. It really is. We don't know what's going to happen now. We're hearing terrible stories of side effects, injuries from these vaccines. Thousands have died. Thousands are injured. All being suppressed so that you don't hear about it. But it's coming out now. God will bring this out, because blood is crying before the mercy seat of God. And God is hearing the prayers of the saints. And children, the death of children, and getting vaccines as young as 5 years of age. That is assault on children. They're crimes against humanity. Well, praise God. We've got lawyers, international lawyers now around the world. They're now filing cases. God burdened me for one international lawyer 2.5 years ago. God said to me, you get in prayer intercession for him. I contacted him. Wow, what God is doing through this man now. and the many other lawyers he's got on board now throughout the world who are now going to bring this to the courts. And we said this all along. Why? Because the body of Christ, the overcomers, the sons of God, are keeping this back until the church is caught away. And then we know the Antichrist will come forth just for a season. Why am I stressing all of this? Because I'm talking about light. The body is to be a beacon, a light in the world. And that light reveals to us and shows us how to pray, what to say, how to warn, how to be watchmen in these last days. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We have to have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides and anoints what we say, what we do, how we preach, our confession, everything. Without the Holy Spirit, it is useless. Because he is the one who works through us and speaks through us. And we have to be so diligent now and on our guard. We really do, because I believe we're going to start to see a move of God. There are damaged people out there. There are people who are despondent. There are people who are injured. We're going to see injuries, side effects coming up. It's already starting. God is setting the field. He's setting it so that this good news of the gospel can go forth, because some have come to the end of themselves. There's mental oppression and depression on a level we have never seen before. I could just go on and on, but you know, you listen, you read. And so it's a time now where I believe God is going to move by his Spirit. This could well be ushering in the latter rain anointing before the Lord comes. So we need to be ready. We need to be alert, on guard, watchmen. We have been an army that has been trained, ready for the last days. Because the harvest is soon to be brought in. We are that close. So only man breaks promises. And that's why we don't trust in him. We trust in the faithfulness of God, who never breaks his promises. And God will never break his promise, what he has promised to you and I. Never. And that's why faithfulness is not ours, it is the Lord. It is he himself. He doesn't have to be faithful, he is faithful by nature. So our confession in trials, it tells us whether you are in faith or not. And where we're still bound to the arm of the flesh, to man, to the bondage of man, God will deliver us if we want that. Because otherwise, if we don't take this seriously, our walk is about sowing and reaping. And what you sow is what you reap. And some of our trials that we go through, we're going through them because that is what I've been sowing to. And we're not always honest about that, are we? Because if we don't get this right, we're always going to compromise. And the days of compromising are gone. We cannot do it now. We're growing up, we're maturing. We have to remain faithful to God and to His promises. And that is why confession is so dependent, not only on the promises of God, but it's dependent in our relationship with God. As we confess what He says, that's what continues to build and strengthen our relationship that we have with Him. Because our salvation ultimately is about relationship. But there are so many things that can hinder that relationship when we have to just accept that and not try and push it under the carpet. But that the Lord is faithful. That's why he says that His grace, His mercy is sufficient for that very thing, because He knows there are so many hindrances that hinder our relationship with Him. He knows, the Lord knows, that's why He came in the flesh, to identify with our weaknesses, for that very purpose. And so confession is dependent not only on relationship, it's dependent on our prayers being effective before Him. It's dependent on our fellowship, not only with Him, but with each other. My confession can affect the fellowship, can affect the body of Christ. It's also my obedience at the end of the day, just doing what God says, helps my confession. My separation unto the Lord, unto holiness. It's again, my confession can be effective if I don't want that separation in my life. That's why you see God worked with Israel like He did to keep them separate from other nations, from their idolatry, because He knew that would affect their faith, their confession. But they wouldn't have it. And so what did they confess right at the end? You know it. Wish to God we were back in Egypt. At least we had food there and it wasn't such a trial. That's what they were confessing. And God gave them what they confess in the end. Because they didn't want God's ways. And if we don't want God's ways, it will always affect our confession. Well, let's close with something we know well. Let's look back in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. Now, here is the principle of blessings that was given out to the children of Israel. And this is all part of the law that was inscribed on the stones. And listen to what it says here. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. In other words, He's exalting them. They won't be touched, untouchable. That's what He says. But He opens up clearly to be diligent, to obey Him, to listen to the voice of the Lord, to consider carefully the commandments. He always lays it out so we know where we stand. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bow. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hands. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, even keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. There's the principle of the light that God sets amongst his people, the same light in the house of God, that beacon. And it comes through blessing. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure in heaven to give rain to your land and its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the herd and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. There, everything, faith, confession, is built upon that. And he makes it absolutely clear how you enter to that, how you receive that. He makes it quite clear in verse 1. And so when things go wrong, when things are not working out, when there's not the blessing that there should be, it is telling you something is wrong. You are not sowing as you should. And therefore your confession is going to falter. It's going to change. You will always start to line up your confession with the world and its ways. And that is what God is trying to protect us from. He's trying to protect you because your words either are positive or negative. Words carry great weight. Words can be sown in the heart, whether positively or negatively. Parents can affect their children by their words and how they come out and what they say. And sometimes there are spirits that are attached to that, that you are passing on to your children and their children and their children. And that's what happens in the Word of God to the third and fourth generation. You see, this is why we have to trust God and walk by faith, because that then is the supernatural work of God preserving and protecting us from all of this, which cannot be attained or achieved in the natural. It's impossible. all that the Lord was confessing here to the children of Israel in chapter 28 is impossible unless they trust and believe in God and do it his way. It cannot be done. God knows that. And that is why he is faithful. And he is faithful to his word, his promises. And simply because it's not manifested at the time you want, it doesn't mean to say that he has not promised. We know this from Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's in the faith realm. And that if it's in the faith realm, it's there, it's simply waiting for the manifestation. We know the analogy, a letter has been posted. You know it's been posted because somebody said you've got a letter coming. What are you doing? You're simply waiting until the letter is delivered. And then you have it in your hands. You are reading it. You are seeing it. What has been said has been sent. And it's exactly the same with God. God says, I've sent you a letter. I've sent it. And I've said, you are healed. You are blessed. I will get you out of this trouble. I will get you out of debt. And all the rest of the promises. He sent the letter. You're simply waiting to pick it up when it's delivered, and to read it. It's manifested. It's there. And it's the same with whatever you're believing for. And the problem that hinders it is our confession. I'm not sure. It's been 2 weeks now. It's been a year. It's been 10 years. It's been 20 years. Can I go on? God is still faithful. Don't even try and work it out. Don't even entertain it. I don't try and work anything out. Now, I'm not bothering my mind, wasting energy, trying to work things out. This is why I refuse. I walk this day by faith. And there's enough in this day for me to think about, to concentrate on, to confess and believe. And what tomorrow holds, what next year holds, that is in God's hand. I tell you, that is such a deliverance. That is one of the major deliverances from anxiety and fear that plagues the house of God. It is when you finally settle it. Because your anxiety, your fear, your frustrations isn't going to change anything. Doesn't. It doesn't. And eventually we get it. God is on the throne. He has the final say. He holds all the powers that be in his hands. My life, your life, is not a mistake. He created and made you and I for fellowship. And he has made no mistake over your life or my life. Why would he create and make us in his image otherwise? What would be the purpose? He's made and created us, even in a fallen world that we live in, so that we can trust him and we can walk totally by faith in these last days. Because what is the point otherwise? And some see this and some don't. What is the point of confessing him and saying all that we do if we don't believe or trust him? And the very fact that he's made and created me, that I'm not a mistake, that I am part of the perfect will and plan of God. If we just think on that, that will stop us doubting. That will stop us from questioning the promises of God that He's made to us in His Word. And yet, when it doesn't come, and we've got to wait 2 weeks or wait a month or whatever it is, then the old confession starts to waver. Well, God hasn't heard. It's all gone wrong. Where did it go wrong or whatever it is? Well, it went wrong because you doubted. It's simple. It's not rocket science. God has made this walk in many ways so simple, that is why we miss it. And we miss it because we're working it out in our minds instead of being absorbed in putting on the mind of Christ, as the Word of God tells us. And that is something that we have to ask for, and He will do it. And so your mind, your thinking, your attitude start to change as the Word of God begins to work on us, so that we start to change our confession and we start to confess what God says and not what man says or government says or what I'm going through or whatever it would be. We have to be persuaded by the promises of God's Word. It's not just believing, but being persuaded that God is faithful, even if I'm not. And we will know by our confession, as I close now, because your confession tells you where you are in the faith. And that is why God allows us to go through trials and tribulations, because that will tell us where we are in the faith. And not all is lost. Even if you find there's unbelief, even if you find you're struggling, even if you find your confession isn't as it should be, well, the trial that He's allowing you to go through is to bring honesty out of you and I, is to get us to be real before Him, to get us to seek Him so that He can heal us and touch us. That is why it's called the trials of our faith. The trials of our faith are to get us to be honest and not live a lie or pretending. And we all do it. It's just human nature. But if we stay with it, then God works that healing, that deliverance. Why? Because He's promised. He is our Father. He doesn't give us a substitute. And when we start to experience this, then we look at our trials in a completely different light. We know that this trial, as much as it's hurting me, is tailor-made. God would not allow me to go through this unless there is something greater and bigger that will come out of this. And it always does, and it always will. That is why we stay with it. That is why we endure to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And you always got that assurance that whatever you go through, the Lord has gone before to prepare the way. You can be well assured of that. He's not going to let you take one step forward unless He has gone before to prepare the way for you and I. Hold on to your confession. Whatever's being thrown at you, however the enemy is trying to oppose you, confess what God has promised to you in His Word. And as we know, in time, confession brings possession. It will be yours. for your heavenly Father is faithful. Hallelujah. Father, again, we thank you how we need to be reminded, how we can lose sight and we can forget so easily. But Father, you never leave us or forsake us. You are patient. You work with us 24/7. We are never out of your sight. And you're often working with us so that we are persuaded by the fact that you are faithful. You are true to your promises. That you hear our prayers, our intercessions. Lord, forgive us that we make it so hard for ourselves at times. Lord, forgive us that our hearts can be divided at times. We are at times our own worst enemy. But you never give up on us, Lord. And the very fact that we're here today in fellowship, the saints are here in the room, is a clear, clear sign that you're with us and you don't give up on us. Oh, Lord, there aren't words at times, but we thank you. We thank you, Lord, we will make it in. We will be triumphant in your name. Because you have a family. You have a seed that has been redeemed even before the foundation of the earth. And you have confessed our names before Almighty God. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us in our weakness. Help us in those areas that we still struggle with, and we all do. Help us, Lord, to be honest, not to hide, to come boldly into your presence, as naked as we are. For Lord, you know all things. You know us better than we know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. We don't know our hearts. But you do. And so Lord, I pray that this word will bless. It will go forth to the four corners of the earth. It will be healing and deliverance to all who hear this. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy fall.